Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Morning people wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast right before it ends.
Hotcakes, sausage patty, hash browns, scrambled eggs, biscuit, real butter and syrup. You know how our big breakfast got its name, and you know where your whole family can share one for just $6. McDonald's. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day?
Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment. I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. And last night, we saw a rare sight indeed in downtown Los Angeles, a fully healthy Lakers team, including LeBron James making his debut for a historic 23rd season. D, this is one of the most impressive records in basketball for me, is the 30 years of service and the fact that he's still an amazing player, as we saw last night, is just incredible to me. So congrats to LeBron on year 23. But it was a bit of a slog, D. Lakers did not start out all that great, especially on the defensive end. They gave up 37 in the first quarter. They gave up 70 in that first half. Didn't take their first lead until that third quarter. But once they broke it open, they broke it open. And the team sort of went as LeBron went, meaning that first shift, LeBron goes out there, looked like just trying to get up and down the court, get some cardio in, kind of get used to the flow of an NBA game again. But every shift he played, he got a little better and a little better. And by the end of the game, he was on fire with his passing, and it was super fun. And Lakers were scoring pretty much on every play and ended up setting a season high with 140 points, winning 140 to 125. Also had the return of Gabe Vincent, which I want to talk about a little bit later. Having LeBron show up to this already established team, Gabe to a lesser degree, I just saw something different in him that I'd seen before that I want to talk about later. But D, the return of the king to last night, and Lakers with the full squad. What do you see?
LeBron remains LeBron in so many ways. He is an ever-present figure in the game, and he's someone that when he's gone, like, I'm just going to miss him. And it was funny, like, he ended his media availability after his first practice saying, "I know you guys missed me."
Yeah.
The Lakers put out that great social video where it ended really with that, and that it was all these highlights from last year. Those highlights from last year, Pete, are, oh my God, look at LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
The dunks and the transition and just like the sheer force that he can still play with. Now, that's a highlight reel, of course. It's not catching every moment of every game. And I think to your point, there were stretches in this past game, particularly in his first shift, where it very much was a, okay, he's feeling his way out. But the riding a bike nature of LeBron's brilliance as a basketball thinker and one of the players who I would argue is in the top five or six players I've ever seen in terms of feel for the game. Like, it's LeBron and Magic and Bird. I'd actually rank Jokic.
Jokic
up
was
there.
The guy that came to mind. Yep. Mm-hmm. Same.
Just in terms of his general, like, I see it a beat ahead I know what's about to happen. In fact,
Jason
in some
Kidd
ways,
is another one like this. Yeah.
Yes, Jason Kidd, Rondo is up there. Just like great sort of thinkers and guys who naturally are making a play or see a play that other people just don't see. And it's not a demerit against the people who don't see it.
You're gifted. This is your superpower.
The Good Will Hunting idea of just like this guy walks by an equation on a board and can break down the solution. LeBron can look at a whiteboard and be like, oh, this is the alignment. I want to do this. Oh, wait, who's on my team? Who's on their team? Oh, they're going to react this way. Mm-hmm. The layers to the onion in which he can like decipher and break down what's going to happen, even based off of individual player 10 tendencies that are on the other team. He's just a special, special player. And so to see him last night with the passes to Ayton or the pass he made to Laravia, this isn't to knock Luka or anything, but Luka had Laravia on that same baseline cut out of the same post-up action, and Luka just missed him. He wasn't looking for that exact thing. And LeBron, having not played with Laravia a single second this season, knew exactly what was happening. There was a pass we marveled about with that Luka made, and I can't remember what game it was. It might have been against the Hawks, but it was on the road trip, I believe, where Luka got double-teamed. And he was in the post on the right block and he got double teamed and spun. And as he spun, he threw the lob right as he spun to Jackson.
Yeah,
and
that was
Jackson
a home game.
Caught it for a dunk. Oh, it was a home game.
It was a home game. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
LeBron made that same pass this game to Ayton in his first game back. And it was just a reminder, all of the things that Luka's been doing as just like, oh my God, look at Luka magic. And like, I'm not diminishing that stuff at all. But LeBron's like the original prototype of so many of these exact things. And so just to watch him go out there and cook and at the end of the game be like so sort of not overwhelmed, but just the joy so on the surface of like
so
what he'd just done was just great. And like, there's a spirit that he plays with that when he's got it going, the crowd just sort of comes to its feet in anticipation of the next thing that LeBron James is going to do. And it was just a reminder, what is this, year 8 of him with the Lakers?
Crazy.
And we've gotten 8 years of this dude playing this style of basketball. And has it always been this? It's not this every single moment of every single game, but when it's there, man, it's like, oh my God. And year 23, he's about to be 41 in a month and a half. What is this?
Yeah.
Honestly, what is it, Pete?
You know, it's funny. I'm a longtime Kobe stan, right? Kobe was my guy growing up. And I've been in countless stupid arguments on the internet over the course of my life, arguing in favor of him and what. I've been meaning to tell you about this. I was laughing the first time I saw the NBC studio crew. It's Vince Carter, Carmelo Anthony, and who's the third guy? It's me. T-Mac is the third one. And it was just too much for my inner Kobe stan to bear. I've been in too many stupid arguments over all three of those dudes over the course of, and like, so the first time I see him, I'm like, look at all these ringless wings on my TV right now, right? Because I argue with so many of their fans about, oh, this guy's better than Kobe, that guy's better than Kobe. So when LeBron comes along, I'm like, oh, here we go again. Another one of these dudes coming up is supposed to be good at Kobe, right? And then he was the one guy who was like, actually, yeah, he's really fucking good, right? You know, like,
you just have to nod your head, right?
You can come in the club, right? But right, the other guy is just like, I'm not trying to hear about T-Mac as good as Kobe or anything like that. The reason I bring all of that up in context with LeBron is, you know, they're doing all the pregame stuff and he's about to do his traditional chalk toss. And I'm full of like warm and fuzzy feelings being like, oh, look at LeBron, man. Like I felt sentimental. And I was like, I can't believe this as a long, long time Kobe stan. It's a guy who was anti-LeBron for a good portion of that, right? That 8 years, D, like when he's gone and then comes back, it's like, I missed this dude. This guy's a Laker and I missed him. And it's like on the basketball court, D, he adds a totally different dimension to this team. He plays with a level of force that, like, the way that he generates those passes, for example, it's a lot more straight line, like, we got to collapse the defense, and the defense is going, oh, crap, like, on a back pedal type of thing that Luka just goes about his business a little bit differently, that, and a lot of what LeBron is doing is off of like stampede cuts from the slot, like slot cuts. It's like where he's doing it and how he's doing it, at least in that game, it's like a different angle and vector of attack and manner of attack than Luka, than of Austin, that I think that if they can nail it, like it could be really something else.
I will say this too. LeBron at his very best reminds me so much of Magic Johnson. And so I know you grew up watching Magic Johnson as well, and we're close to the same age, and I'm a little bit older than you. Those like couple of years I might have on you, that's a couple of years more of me like watching Magic, who was my favorite player ever. In fact, there were times where I would be comparing Kobe to Magic and being like, oh man, look at this dude taking this shot that he has no business taking, dog. Right? Right? Uh-huh. And so one of the reasons why I've almost always had an affinity for LeBron is because of that flair as a passer that he brings and that feel for, if I move this guy this way, or if I look this way, or if I like stare down in this part of the court, it's going to make the defense react in a certain way. And that's going to open up this other thing. I remember it was in his second stint with the Cavs, and he made that ball fake against the Lakers where he did like the one-handed pass where he like faked like he was going to go to the corner. And then like, I think it was Mozgov might have slipped and he hit him for a cut and he just threw it no look with one hand. He was just like palming the ball and moving it around like the way that like Jordan or Dr. J would. And then he just flicked it with his wrist and the look away that Steph does on like a beautiful three where he's just like, oh, this is going in. LeBron did that on a pass where he passed it and turned around and just started walking the other direction. He had that pass to Gabe at the end of the third quarter where he knew exactly how much time was on the clock. Mm-hmm. He sort of understood that the defense was creeping closer and closer and closer to him with the time running down. And he just threw that bullet hook pass that was a little bit low, but Gabe scooped it up like Freddie Freeman on a first base toss. And then LeBron's throwing up the three symbol as Gabe is going into his shooting motion and he buries it. There was that other possession where it's like literally 3 seconds left on the shot clock and LeBron calls for a freaking pick and roll with Jackson Hayes. And then Stu and Billy Mack are just like, gotta do it, gotta do something here. And then LeBron hits Hayes for a pocket bounce pass for a dunk.
I brought you up on the playback on that. I was like, that's exactly the pass that Darius was talking about him being like maybe the best of all time at making that play.
He's just a brilliant, brilliant passer. And on a team that already has Luka, and on a team where Austin has probably been having his best passing year of his career and making otherworldly reads as a ball handler.
Although the lobs, we need to figure out. He tried to throw a lob to freaking Luka last night. Is there a, what is the line for Austin on who he will or will not? Would he throw a lob to Gabe? I want to know.
There is no line. Austin is at the lob buffet, Pete, and it's like there's a bunch of crab legs there, and Austin's just like, I love me some crab legs. I'm about to gobble up some crab legs. I got plates and plates and plates of crab legs. I think he's going to try to throw a lob to every player this season. He's gotten Laravia.
Yeah.
He'll get LeBron. He just tried with Luka. He had Bronny. You know he's gotten Ayton and Jackson. He got Rui on that one off of the steal that Marcus Smart created. So look, he's just going down the list.
Just checking him off. Got to respect it.
So he's at the lob buffet. He's just tossed them. Let's go to break here. And when we come back, I want to finish this point about LeBron's passing.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Morning people wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast. right before it ends.
Hotcakes, sausage patty, hash browns, scrambled eggs, biscuit, real butter and syrup. You know how our big breakfast got its name, and you know where your whole family can share one for just $6. McDonald's. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
But on a team with Luka and Austin who are making these sorts of passes, I brought this up on yesterday's pod, but the idea of LeBron being a connecting player, a lot of that connecting is based off of passing brilliance and him sort of being this go-between. And it's where he can help the team in a way where they already seem to have an abundance of riches, but they actually don't. After Luka and Austin, when LeBron was out, the only other guy who I felt like has real passing feel is Marcus Smart. I think Smart's got pretty good passing feel. And then LaRavia is a good passer. After that, I'm just like, who do I trust to make a pass here? Or who's going to see Ayton on this duck in? Who's going to read this action and swing? No offense against Rui, but it's not Rui. Seeing LeBron just pick guys out, it's one of his superpowers. It's maybe his most stable skill.
Mm.
I just honestly think that the type of player he is, the forceful driver, the forceful cutter, the power player, to have that in combination with this preternatural feel as a passer and the court vision that he has, it's just such a unique combination that historically not many, if any, players really have.
Yeah, absolutely. And it adds a dimension to this Lakers team that is just entirely new, and it's so cool to see. Now, it wasn't all sunshine and roses, D. As I often say on this pod, I put a decent amount of stock in sort of a first impression, and one of the negatives was I watched them and was like, this group seems slow. We saw a lot of 1-5 switching, which is new. I like this as a look, but it was the look that Utah was getting a ton of great looks out of that. Now, Utah's been playing better, and they are a team that can't guard anybody, although the Lakers put up the most points on them anyone had in regulation this year in that game. But they've scored very well. Both Keontae George and Lauri Markkanen had 20-plus at halftime. With the Lakers switching 1-5 like that, D, that's always going to juice the shot attempt numbers of the stars and sort of decrease that from everybody else. But they also got it back under control in that second half, and I thought defended a good deal better. I haven't done my rewatch yet. We're recording early, so I didn't catch if there was a schematic adjustment or if it was just them playing harder D. What did you see in terms of sort of that first impression of everybody healthy?
I didn't like the switching either. I disliked it to a degree that I actually got online and started to complain. A little peek behind the curtain. I try not to go online to complain about the team too much because I feel like people then get in my mentions, and then I start to feel like, oh no, I'm inspiring these sorts of responses.
Right. Where people done? Yeah.
I don't want to contribute to this super negative vibe around the team right now. But it reminded me of like what the Lakers had done to start the season last year, where they were switching a ton 1-5 with Anthony Davis, and the number of times that AD found himself away from the basket and not being able to rebound, or not in a position to rebound and not in a position to contest shots around the rim. Utah, and JJ mentioned this after the game, and I didn't think of it this way until he said it, but after he said it, I couldn't unsee it or unthink it. And it was about how Utah can stretch you and force you into positions the way that Golden State does. And he was just like, the amount of shooting they put on the floor, and especially the degree to which they use Markkanen as this like movement player and run him off of a ton of screens.
Yeah.
It did remind me of Steph looking back at it in hindsight.
Really, the only guy Markkanen's size that I can remember that they ran off of screens to the degree that he gets run off of them is really KD, right? So it's this super unusual archetype to have a guy that's 7 foot that can curl it to the basket if you switch it. And now he's like shooting a lefty jump hook over Austin, who's got no chance.
And also using and leveraging that movement to come off of screens to use him as a screener. And so one of the things that Utah was doing great was setting back screens and then off of the back screen, cutting back door off of those screens. And so Steph is brilliant at this. He leverages his outside shooting gravity to then cut after setting the screen himself in order to get layups. And then that's when, as JJ says, you start to make up your own rules, because you then start to overplay in these ways and then you get beat and then you start to second guess and then guys are running free. So I say all that to make the point that Utah can be difficult to guard, but I thought the Lakers were making it harder on themselves at the beginning by not only switching 1 through 5, but switching softly 1 through 5. Keontae George was just walking into jumpers because the Laker who was supposed to switch on him was playing well below the level of the ball. Luka got caught once or twice on being just too low. Like, Luka got switched on to a big guy. And now here comes Nurkic to set a ball screen for Keontae George. And Luka is like with a super late closeout. And yeah. George is just walking in to a three. I also thought then when you're late, you also try to like hurry up to step up. And then George was recognizing that. And he turned that into driving lanes and was getting shot to the basket or driving kicks out to Mikhailuk. And it was just like, oh, look at Pete's old dude's feet knocking down rainbow threes. He must feel comfortable in crypto, right?
Year 8 of Svi. Imagine that.
But the whole moving the ball around and the Lakers being sort of soft in their coverages, their switch coverages, and the lack of aggression with that, I was just honestly disappointed that that was like the plan in the first place. And if it is going to be the plan, then how are you not reinforcing the idea? It's just like, no, man, like, this team gets the shots up, they get the threes up. You gotta like defend them a certain way and be aggressive on this and step out harder in order to divert their angles and take away walk up jump shots. And I was just like, is this what we're doing?
Yeah, I mean, this is a big part of why I want Smart to start, is that this is sort of what you have to do if that's the five that you're going to start, is switch everything, because you don't have a conventional on-ball defender in that group. They tried to do it with Austin, and he's just not high level enough at that. Like, there were several possessions where Keontae George just went over the top of him.
And even if Smart were to be on George, I actually liked Smart's second half possessions against Markkanen way more than liked anyone else's possessions against Markkanen at all.
Absolutely, right? And again, it's not so much about like, oh, Marcus Smart's going to lock everybody down type of thing. It's just more that you can run different types of coverages where, like, because it's not just the on-ball switch that ends up leading to a mismatch. So it's like you've got Ayton, say, on Keontae George. You've got Austin trying to box out Lauri Markkanen. You've got LeBron chasing around a guy who was his son's college teammate. You know what I'm saying? Like, or Ace Bailey. You know what I mean? There's these like athletic, or this isn't great for the Lakers, that happens all over the court when the Lakers switch everything with that starting five. And so we'll see how it plays out, right? Lakers were able to drop 140 on a bad defensive team, but I know that that is sort of the theory of victory behind this in the first place, but they sort of like, this is kind of what they have to do, where they can zone a little bit, but that's one of the dangers, not starting anybody who guards the ball for a living.
Well, also too, the Lakers clawed their way back into the game in the second quarter. They finally got it under double digits, and then it was just like, suddenly, instead of it being 11, it's 9, and then it's 7, and they were going back and forth between 8 and 7, 8 and 6, 6 and 8. It's just like, okay, okay, okay. And then they tied it up, and then Austin fouls Markkanen on that 4-point play to close the half. And it's just like, oh man, 71 points against this Jazz team. Like, I know Utah can score, but they've got to find a way to cut into this and like find better activity on defense, especially. I thought they found that in the third quarter, Pete.
Yeah, what happened in that third quarter? They definitely tightened things up in that second half.
From my eye, and I haven't done a rewatch either, they were not switching as often 1 through 5 And instead, they were just switching 1 through 4 more often. And when they were switching 1 through 4, they were stepping out harder on their switches in order to sort of deter that first open look. And Utah also missed some of the shots that they made in the first half. And this is one of the things. This is like, how stable can your attack be, particularly as defensive intensity ramps up? And OKC tested that theory against the Lakers. Like, I thought OKC took the Lakers totally out of whatever they wanted to do offensively, but they are not just final boss level Pete. They are like historical, like what they're doing. I saw a stat the other day that was like OKC's defensive rating is 4 or 5 points better than the second place team. And that's the same difference between like second place and 20th.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Basically. So the level to which they can shut you down is unreal. And they did it to Golden State and the Lakers in back-to-back nights. I watched both of those games. You're not going to find two teams that play different styles to shut both those teams down. It's kind of crazy. I thought what the Lakers did to Utah in the second half was prove it. Prove that you're going to keep doing this as we ramp up our pressure, as we're more disciplined with everything that we're doing. And then to your point, when the Lakers were getting stops, it was then feeding their offense. Let's go to our second break here, Pete. And when we come back, I want to hear you talk about the other part of where LeBron helped, which I thought was transition.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Morning people wake up for peace and quiet. McDonald's breakfast people, we wake up for the sweet rush of getting that warm, delicious breakfast right before it ends.
Hotcakes, sausage patty, hash browns, scrambled eggs, biscuit, real butter and syrup. You know how our big breakfast got its name, and you know where your whole family can share one for just $6. McDonald's, limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is really that main attack vector that I was talking about earlier, is that Luka is so in the middle of the floor and so many of the Lakers' actions are right in the middle of the floor that one of the ways of balancing all of these offensively talented players is to give them different attack vectors, right? So one of my favorite attack vectors for Rui is out of the corner, he can cut along that baseline. I always say Rui rules the baseline. He's really good at making that read and then getting looks out of that. And LeBron on up the sideline in breaks and just sort of the force that he's creating there. Like one of the things that stood out to me in that whole blink idea of first impressions is I thought he and LaRavia had good sort of instant chemistry. And you alluded to that baseline cut where Jake got the dunk as well. But there were a couple of plays in transition as well that I thought really exhibited that, and that Jake gets up the court well and that, you know, he's ready to catch and shoot. But LeBron really getting pressure on the defense early and the Lakers still playing out of that, not giving up the advantage super early. And so that there'd been such a discrepancy, D, between how often the other team was doing that to us versus how often we were doing that to them. Like the best transition stuff we've been getting is Rui has been getting ahead of the pack and getting rim runs and layups off of seals, which is great. But not a lot of – there's been a lot of odd number fast breaks in the opposite direction, like two Lakers get up court and four defenders are back type of thing that actually – penetrating the defense right at the beginning of the possession and then never letting go of that advantage. Like I thought LeBron was just spectacular in transition for his first game back.
This is another aspect of connective basketball. When you go from straight up transition fast break, like, oh, we ran for a layup, 2-on-1, 3-on-2. We often think of transition basketball in that way, Showtime basketball, how the old school 1980s Lakers played. But there's a point where the transition and what you're running for is right on the verge of being exhausted. And then you cross the line right into where early offense is. And what LeBron was doing last night, I thought, was extending the idea of what's going to be a transition basket. And just by putting pressure on the rim and making the defense feel like, oh, he's still going to the basket here. We have to keep trying to protect the rim. And so he had that play to the second play to Ayton, where he raced up the court and then got the shovel pass. That's not LeBron going coast to coast in a grab and go and I'm racing the floor. It's a someone else got the ball. LeBron is racing outside left lane. He gets the ball half court, maybe a little bit inside half court, takes a couple of dribbles, and the defense is just like, what the hell? Here comes LeBron James. And once he gets it, it's just like, oh, shovel pass, quick shovel pass to Ayton. He had another play where Luka threw over the top to LeBron streaking up court, again up the left wing, and LeBron pressured the basket. And I think Austin might have gotten a layup after he was sort of on a delayed run. And the sorts of plays that LeBron can create in transition, I wrote about this the other day when I talked about LeBron's return, is LeBron was fifth in the entire NBA last season in total transition points scored. He's usually a monster as a finisher in this way, and he is going to get transition layups and transition dunks, but his ability to be a conductor in transition and generate transition baskets for teammates just off of his ability to change ends, to me, that's way more critical to the overall infrastructure of the Lakers offense, making a leap from being eighth or ninth to being fourth or third. Because if you can get 4 or 6 more points a game pretty easily off of transition opportunities, not because LeBron is scoring layups at the rim, but because he's just helping to create transition chances, those are half court possessions that you're taking away, where even if the Lakers are a very efficient half court offense team, like, oh, they're scoring 1.05 points per 100 possessions. That's pretty good for a half court team. But a lot of teams in transition are scoring like 1.45, 1.5 points per 100 possessions. It's like, oh, we're increasing our offensive efficiency by a half a point just by being in transition. Instead, you create 3 or 4 more of those a game, suddenly your offensive efficiency just goes up. These are winning on the margin sorts of plays, but it's one of the myriad of ways that LeBron just helps you be a much better basketball team.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to see that how he applies this to each individual game. Like, one thing I loved about his game was he identified that I can really, with this force and as a passer, dominate this game, and that the things that need to be handled regardless of what team you're playing, regardless of what lineup you have, are handled on this Lakers team. Like, what needs to happen for things to just run smoothly overall are taken care of in a way that allow him to sort of move between worlds. Is I'm going to be a passer tonight, I'm going to be a scorer tonight, I'm going to be more of this, right? And be able to dissect that I can't wait to see how that manifests. Now, D, before we wrap up, I wanted to revisit a little bit of our conversation yesterday of who plays when everybody's healthy. We got the answer to that last night. Had our starting lineup that included Luka, LeBron, Austin, Rui, and DA. Off of the bench, we had Gabe, Larabia, Smart, and Jackson. That was the 9. Vando got a DNP. No Dalton until the very end as well. I wanted to talk about that a little bit. And I wanted to start with Gabe. He's somebody that I've been fairly adamant, like, he makes the team too small. From watching the game last night, one of the things I came away with was that I am being too rigid in that idea. The Lakers broke that game open in part because they found a look that was faster. And Gabe was on the floor for that, right? Now, he didn't have some amazing plus minus. He wasn't, the best guy out there or anything like that. But he was able to Basically, it's this with Gabe. I think Gabe has a decent amount of utility for a Lakers team that is going to be slower than its opponent, perhaps to a very harmful degree on some nights. He can help make the team faster on the perimeter while not totally gunking up the spacing on offense the way that Vando does. And so I just, in that whole idea of like the Lakers having clubs in their bag in terms of their personnel and all of that, D, I think that Gabe, and just more broadly speaking, the team needs options to speed up as much as they can, right? They're not going to be a fast team no matter what group of five that you put out there, really. But I do think that there are groups where he's going to be helpful, and that last night was an example of a team where we needed to be a little bit faster, and I thought Gabe helped.
I thought he did help as well. It also helped that he hit his two threes that he took. Gabe, to me, when he's at his best, it's a combination of all that you said about like the elements of his game, the quick decisions, his understanding of how to get open, of where to be on the court, on both sides of the ball, like a very positional player in a lot of ways. He runs hard. He understands that when he gets the ball in the corner, he could ball fake and sidestep and take a shot. These are sort of important aspects of keeping the wheel moving. I'm still in wait and see mode on a variety of things. What I liked about Gabe's shifts is that very similar to Marcus in that the minutes got scaled down in a way where they weren't over-reliant on any of the bench guys to any degree where it felt like they were overextended at all. In fact, in Gabe's first shift, I remember watching the telecast, and it had been like three or four possessions before anyone even realized Gabe was on the court from the announcing crew. Billy Mack was just like, oh, and Gabe Vincent's in, and Gabe had been in for a couple minutes by that point. But that was almost indicative of the idea of we're not asking Gabe to do too much here. Earlier during the season, when he came out and he was the starter, I felt like it was putting him in the crosshairs a little bit too much. Oh, here you go. You got to go guard player X because you are the solution in this way. And it shows again that LeBron can help slot people. Gabe didn't bring the ball up once last night. Marcus did a little bit, but he found himself in ball handling groups that had like fewer guys in them. But Gabe's out there with LeBron and Luka, or LeBron and Austin, or Luka and Austin. And it's just like, okay, well, we got it covered in this way. Like, space the floor, move with activity and with the right amount of verve, and like keep the sort of structure of the offense where we want it to be. And defensively, the ask isn't going to be go guard the best player, right? Of course, it's Markkanen this time, so he's not going to guard him anyway. But I thought even on defense, Gabe was stepping up and doing his job, switching out with the right amount of force. And like he was playing like Gabe Vincent, which you want to see.
Yeah, that's what you want from your role guys, to put them in a position where just play your game, be who you are, and you'll be all right. And even in that second half, he did have some times where he was jamming up Markkanen and just after the switches and all of that. And again, I don't want to be like, and I've totally changed my mind on Gabe Vincent's fit on this team or anything like that, D, but I do think that there is a place for him, that he has a level of utility, and that the Lakers have a whole multitude of looks between him and the other bench guys with LeBron back, with a fully healthy crew, that they can be a few different versions of themselves, which you've often said, D, is one of the keys to being a contender.
I totally think that that's correct. I also would say that every bench player, I thought, played to their strengths in a way where I was just happy to see it. Like, I thought Jackson had a good game. He was on the offensive glass a bunch. Utah was switching some, and Jackson was finding his way to the glass and finding a way to be impactful. Ayton did that as well with a couple of offensive rebounds. Jake had his best game in a while. He hadn't been making his outside shot, so to see his jumper fall was great for him individually. When he gets it going on offense, I think his utility goes up a ton, but even his baseline floor, I think, of just being a connecting player is super helpful. So I just thought overall everyone was slotted more appropriately. And you know, I had commented several times, both on and off the pod to you, that when Gabe was out, I didn't really miss Gabe. And in this game, I don't really think the Lakers missed Vando not being in the rotation. And he was the only guy that didn't play at all, like even in garbage time, which was fine. They played LaRavia instead, and that was good or whatever. I'm very interested to see how they can build on this, though, Pete. And they're going to get a couple of days of practice and see if they can even fine-tune things a little bit more.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of work ahead, and it certainly wasn't all perfect last night, but good to get the win. We got the 11-4 that I was hoping for through the first 15 games, exactly the 11-4. And so, yeah, but a lot of work ahead between the practice court and upcoming games. All right, we will be back tomorrow to talk more about it. But until then, you've been listening to Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Ainge has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out of front. Broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
There's Magic got it. Magic fires. It's in. And the Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game.
Rebound of Lonnie. 3 seconds left. Van Exel the winner. It's on the right side.
Kobe Bryant, 48 points, 16 rebounds. Shaq with his eighth block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
in Boston. Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe, hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Pretty pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move.
Two. One.
Miss it.
Bryant. Unbelievable. For the victory. It's over.
Shot clock now to five.
Bryant.
Yeah.
And that was a little tap to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers. James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.